So, yeah, this morning we have sort of bittersweet moment. One of the men who's been with Josh Jen for over nearly 20 years and was part of this congregation for years and really was loved by people here and part of a community with us, Roger Dalal. He went to be with the Lord last night at the age of 79. I was with him on Friday night, and Henry and Mario and Andre and Nina, a lot of other people have been there with him in the last days of his life. And it's just phenomenal. People just go to lie in his bed with him and just weep with him and encourage him. And even on Friday night, the day before he died, he was just talking about Jesus to me, you know. And he's worried, how's Jenny? You know, he could barely speak. I mean, his body was really in its end stages. But he served God so well all his life, you know. And I believe went into the kingdom, into eternity, full relationship with Jesus. And I believe right now, this morning, he's in peace. And we get an experience of peace and a joy there which we cannot describe even here, because the Bible tells us that it's indescribable, the peace and the joy that we will experience when we are with him face to face. And I'm jealous, I'll be honest, of him right now. You know, we sort of go through this life, it's cold, it's hot, it's painful, there's emotions, there's stuff. He's with the Lord, he's released from that now, he's run his race, he's with the Lord Jesus, and serving, and part of with Jesus forever and ever and ever, an eternity. And that's a wonderful place to be in. The Bible does say we must to mourn with those who mourn. There is a comforting we need to give to the family, because it is still sore, even though you know he's with Jesus, still pretty sore. But to know that he has done so well, you know, in his walk with the Lord. And so, yeah, if you've got opportunity just to encourage the family, send them a message, just encourage them, let them know that you're there. But I was blown away by the love of this congregation towards them, really. Just hearing the names, they were just rattling off. That person's been here, this person, that person. Just like endless list of names of people who've been there to support them and to be with them in their journey at the end. And so well done. Well done as a church. You really exemplified love, you know. Andre May, where are you? Right here in front of me. And he was saying in Friday morning, the elders meeting, he says, Jill, this congregation really loves. Is that right? To quote you right. He's never seen love at a level like this congregation does. And Jesus said, you'll be known as my disciples for the love you have one for another. And so I want to commend you guys as a congregation that you've been Jesus. Well done, man. This is a hard life for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people experience a lot of difficult things. And to be there for one another and to care for one another is really, you've been Jesus. Jesus won't walk on this earth at this time again. He said, you're my body, you're my hands, you're my feet, you're the expression of me. And whatever you say, whenever you speak to people, you're speaking Jesus to them. The Bible says, let everything that come out of your mouth encourage. Don't let it hurt those around you. It must build up, edify, and encourage one another. The Bible says, well, see the day coming. For every one of us is an Uncle Roger moment. For every one of us, he's had his turn last night. And for all of us, we're going to have our turn. And so we're going to have that day. We're going to face that moment. We're going to go into eternity and be with Jesus if we know him, if we're born again and we've surrendered our lives to him. And it feels like God's been doing something in us over the last 3 weeks, at least, where he began a work in us of just showing us aspects of himself and working in us. And people have just been touched by God. And the word of God is powerful and true, and it's mighty, and it cuts right through. The Bible says in Hebrews, it parts between soul and spirit. And your body, your soul, and your spirit, you all three. And there's a bit of a false teaching going around that you sin only in your body and not your spirit and your soul, which is not biblical or true. And so anything that you do will affect your spirit. The Bible says the word of God is the only thing that seems to penetrate between them and is able to cut between them. But we can't separate them out. So we do this life as a body, soul, and a spirit. This body will fall away and we will get a resurrected new body. Isn't that going to be wonderful? You're looking forward to that? It'll be a body at one. What's that? You wouldn't mind it right now, is it? Yeah, yeah. No, you got to wait. And that, you know, it's going to be an eternity, guys. You got to encourage each other towards eternity. Jesus said that, even, you know, set your eyes on eternity. And there's an old saying, you know, those who are so heavenly minded will be no earthly good. I think it's a load of junk. I think those who are heavenly minded will be earthly good because they'll be so in love with Jesus, so excited. They'll be infectious and just want to drag everyone there with them and those who are going to build them up and encourage them and to work and speak into their lives. We can't do this life on our own. You know, I don't understand, you know, in Facebook and social media, you see all these people raging against the church. And Andrew put a post recently and some lady, she's always been hurt by the church, you know. You often wonder, but you're the common denominator, you know, you thought about that. And all the churches are all wrong and they're all harmful and they all hurt. Really? You know, I know there's a lot of not so good churches out there, but really every single church? And, but understand that we call to build the church and as individuals, we're a collective. I've often said this, that the Hebrew understanding of church was us. The Western Greek sort of mindset is very much me. It's about me and God, and I will come and bring my little bit to you guys. Whereas, you gotta see us. We ask. When God looks at us, He sees us. You know, when people separate themselves outside the church, it's unbiblical, unscriptural. They say, you know, it's just me and God, and that, you know, I don't need man. Absolute nonsense. You cannot find that in scripture anywhere. In fact, you find the total opposite continuously. The Bible says it's us. We're doing this journey together as a body. And I really believe in this time, the message I want to bring this morning is one of holiness. And when I thought about it, I felt the Lord say, you know, in the word holiness, everyone will study going to, whoa, angry God, wrathful God, you know. But I really believe it's a Hebrews 12 moment where God disciplines those that He loves. And to understand that as God purifies His church, He's doing it out of love. He's not doing it out of anger, like, look at you bunch, you know, you're supposed to represent me well, and there's sin amongst you, and I'm going to come and smite you all and beat you all and to make you holy. I really believe God's coming in a place of absolute weeping and love over us. But I do believe that God has got an objective in mind, is to bring His church to a place of holiness. We are holy. And we are being made holy. We are justified in Christ. Our sins are washed away. Last 2 weeks ago when I preached, I spoke on the mercy of God and the grace of God. You know, the Bible says, consider the kindness and sternness of God. We've got to bring a balanced meal. When you, in your body, when you feed your physical body, you cannot just eat meat. Well, there's a diet though that says you can just eat meat. But those guys, when they come off it, they get very sick. Very sick. Jordan Peterson is one who's doing that, a very famous Canadian psychologist, so I quite enjoy his teachings at the moment. But, you know, you've got to be balanced in your diet for your body, otherwise you're going to have an unhealthy body. And likewise, in terms of the church, we refer to as a body, and we've got to have a healthy diet. If you just spoke mercy the whole year, we would be unbalanced as a church. We wouldn't represent Christ well. We just came judgment and discipline, we wouldn't represent God well. So we got to bring a balanced teaching through the course of the year to help you to come to a place of sanctification. Because God is watching over His church. He's intentionally working into His church. He's not asleep at this hour. He's wide awake, and this is His precious bride. You are His precious, precious bride. And He wants to see you come into that pure place, that holy place. Paul even says to the Corinthian church, he says, I've got to present you as a virgin bride, a spotless bride, a pure bride. Me, Paul, an apostle, a man called by God to bring and preach a message and to bring God's truth towards you, to bring you to that place. So when you stand before your king, that there will be a sanctification that would have taken place in your life. You cannot just get born again and remain the same. If you get born again, your life should be impacted radically, radically. It should be so turned upside down. You know what will start happening? You'll start hating sin. And it happened to me when I got saved. No one had to come and say to me, stop swearing. Every third word for me was the F word and that, you know. I've just heard of a well-known religious organization in the Western Cape. One of our guys went to one of his meetings recently, last week actually, and the guy starts using the F word while he's preaching, you know. And are we free? You know, the Bible even speaks about people who say, we're free. Look at us. You know, freedom in Christ. And we can do anything. The Bible says, in your freedom, do not sin. It says, watch out for coarse language. It does say that. We're not supposed to use words like that. Just in case you didn't know. God is working in us, folks. And we're not to be sin conscious and honing in on sin. But as we become God conscious and we're trying to present Christ to us, each other, and us as leaders trying to present him to you, that Jesus wants you to start hating sin like he hates it. Because he hates sin. He hates divorce. I've got to tell you that. I know there's divorced people here. Sorry. That's the scripture. I know some of you didn't want to be in that situation, so I'm not condemning you in any way. A lot of you experience the circumstance, so understand. But God hates divorce, folks. God hates adultery. They're trying to do away with the word adultery in South Africa, and they may have done so already. Some of the lawyers, where's Gerard Klaassen? They may have done away with words like it. They're trying to get away with it. They don't like the word adultery. Even our language, we don't like to use. We talk, call it an affair. It sounds very French and romantic and amazing. It's not amazing, guys. It's breaking covenant. The second most important covenant, my first covenant with Jesus, when you become born again, you enter into covenant with him. And the Afrikaans word describes it probably better than the English word for bond. It's like binding. It's strong. It's a strong connotation. And when you get married and you form a, we're 38 years in April this year, I realized on that day, 3rd of April, you must check my phone. Yeah. That was a covenant for life, you know. And are we challenged through our relationship? Of course we are, like anybody. We get challenged like any other marriage. We have ups and our downs through better or poorer or worse. Poorer or better. Poorer or better, worse. Yeah. Don't get me to do your marriage. Sorry, Eugene. But, you know, really, God is watching over us as his people, and at this time, I believe there's a sifting that he wants to take place. The Bible does talk about a great falling away. In the end times, people want to have doctrines and teachings that will tickle their ears. And so many people have made a God in their own mind, and then God must conform to that God that they want. It's God, it's all about me. And I'll serve God on my terms. You know, you guys start at 9. Oh, that's too out of my comfort zone. Can you make it 11 o'clock? More comfortable for me. And folks, Jesus went to a cross. It wasn't comfortable. He died on a cross in extreme agony and pain so that we might live. And we might walk in the blessings of Christ. So let's, as a people, allow God to do this. I really believe for something supernatural to take place even this morning when we go into worship. I'm just laying a foundation of the word because the word is powerful. And God watches over his word to see it performed, to come to life. And I'm really trusting that you'll open up your hearts to him this morning and allow God to work in you. I've just felt on the way here in the car that the Lord is saying, I hate doing this out of my personality. But God said there's some here who don't want to change. You don't want to. The word's just going to bounce off you. You got, what do you call those? Like an armor-plated jacket on. And the word of God can't penetrate you. You don't want to change. You want to do God on your terms. And I really felt, I'm warning some of you this morning, you're in a dangerous place in the Lord. Don't do that. Surrender. You know, the international sign of surrender is hands up. And even in 1 Peter, I think it was 2 Peter, lift up holy hands. We're a holy people. So I really would love it this morning if you've hardened your heart. It's never too late in God. Never too late. That you'll soften your heart and say, Lord, sorry, man. I've rebelled. I've tried to do it my way. Even coming here on your terms this morning. It's on your terms. If you don't like it, you just won't receive it. Tough. I remember once I spoke on judging. You're allowed to judge in the church, you know. We're not supposed to judge people outside the church. Even though we shouldn't be judging all the time, walking around trying to judge one another. But there are moments in terms of sin, the Bible tells that we're called to judge. And I taught in that a few years ago. And I remember there was a lady here, and she went and spoke to one of the elders. She said, what a nice church. Everyone's so lovely, but pity about the leaders. They're so judgmental. And all I did was quote the word of God and give my opinion. You can discard my opinion. Folks, you're welcome to do that. But if I present you the word of God, it's between you and God now. It's your fight against him, not me. I'm not here to fight you. Really. I'm here to lead you to Jesus. It's all my job is to, not even a job, it's a, I don't know what it is, a calling. It's God called me to do this with other elders. But my job is, my function is to point you to Jesus. That's all. You can follow me as I follow Christ. It's also scriptural. But ultimately, I want you to follow Jesus. There's also a false teaching, don't follow man, only follow Jesus. Well, that's not scriptural either. It's not biblical. You know, it's just me and Jesus. No man. I'm not a priest. I'm not between you and God. You have direct relationship with God. But we are called as leaders to walk ahead of you by example and encouragement. And we're to go together. God's idea that there's leadership in church, not ours. I haven't even put one scripture up, have you ever? Some of you are offended about that too. Stop getting offended all the time, folks. Don't get offended over silly things. Really, be more robust, be more mature. Guys leave churches over silly things. Silly things. We get messages, guys leaving the church because we didn't recognize them, their gifting and this and that. And really, did God not speak to you to join here? I literally had a man once, a prophetic guy. He said, a very prophetic guy. He would be used in ministry prophetically, well respected in some of our circles. And he said to me, God said, I must be with you guys. I'm not exaggerating. 2 weeks later, he said to me, I'm going to join another church. They've given me a ministry over there. But I said, you told me 2 weeks ago, you looked me in the eye and you said, God told you. Did God change his mind in 2 weeks? Like, whoa, he's confused. It's literally so quickly. You know, we about ministry for me. Where's my ministry? Who cares about your ministry? Really? You're a gift from God. You're supposed to be a surrendered person. God is bigger than me. I had a guy grab me in the parking lot years ago. He said, you and Andrew have got in the way of my gifting. You've wasted 10 years of my life. I said, my friend, the reason why God hasn't used you is because of this attitude. And number two, who's Andrew? Who's Russell? Really? God can't push us out the way and raise you up? Are we bigger than God? And you know, don't give me so much power. I haven't got that much power. What? 1 Peter, Brent, I hope you can jump with me around. Yeah? Can I start? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. I'm going to give some scriptures, and let's look at them, and let's sift them, allow the word of God to penetrate our hearts. Sorry, I've got out of sequence, so he's a bit thrown up there. But I really want to focus on, and God wants to he wants a purity from us by our purifying process. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified, those set apart by Christ, called to be saints, that's us, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both to their Lord and ours. To the church of God that is in Corinth. Sorry, we just read that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace given that was given to you in Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed among you. Just hold on a second. Just go back to verse 2, please. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Those called to be sanctified in Christ, called to be saints together. Okay. I don't know if you can change translations to the NIV, the one I normally use. Because it says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, to give all those everywhere. This is saints, which is similar. We are holy because we are saints. But I really believe God is saying those who are called to be saints, those who are called to be holy, are those he's addressing this morning. Those he's calling out this morning. God's speaking to us through his word and through me as a servant of his to call us as a people to focus on the holiness of God. That we are called to be a holy and not to fear that word, as I said earlier. Because we can easily fear that word, like holy, whoa, you know, and feel inadequate. But to allow God to do the process. God is going to do it. I really believe it's going to be a God thing. As he's been doing over the last 3 weeks, it's been like a God thing. As we step back almost, said, Lord, here we are. And God says, right, I'm going to purify. I'm going to draw you closer to me. And I really believe we got to position ourselves and present ourselves this morning to allow God to do that. Can we go to 1 Peter 4, verse 17? And understand that these things are going to take place in the church first. Because we're called to be a living example. We be called to that that's going to stand out for God at this time. That the church is getting purified. You see such a sifting amongst the churches and a falling away amongst the churches in terms of truth. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it's time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So there's a judgment that I believe is going to come upon the church. That God's going to expose, God's going to reveal that which is not of him. And he's doing it because he loves you. Hebrews 12. He's doing it because he loves you. He's doing it because he wants his church to be beautiful. God is at work in this church, folks, whether you like it or not. And so I would encourage you in this time. It says it's hard for the righteous to be saved. Paul even said, I'm on a journey of salvation. So in a sense, we know we're saved, but unless we get right the way to the end, as Mark Dauphin coined the phrase at the conference last year, there's no prizes for halfway. There's only a prize for the end of the race. So Paul said, I've run my race. You've got to get, you like Uncle Roger, to the end. So you're on a journey right now of salvation, of growing in God, of walking out the sanctification process in your life. And I would encourage you to allow God to change you. We've had people who've left us to go to a church that is softer than us in a way, that they would regard as much easier Christian life. Because, I mean, we're just quoting the scripture, but they want a softer, easier life, one that will fit into their lifestyle. I had a guy say to me once, your church doesn't fit into my lifestyle, my sport, so I'm going to leave and go find a church that fits into my lifestyle. I don't understand that. Imagine telling Jesus that. You know, come follow me. Well, what are the terms, Jesus? You know, do I have to get up early on a Sunday or on a Monday? What are the terms? Let me know now, and I'll decide if I want to follow you or not. Don't make it too hard. Can you, Jesus, fit into my lifestyle? And I'll follow you, but if we can agree on the terms and conditions. T's and C's apply. And I'm serious. Christians do this. Guys will shop around for a church that fits into their lifestyle. And they'll find a church that fits into their lifestyle and join that church. Not because God told them to go there, but because, although I sort of use God language just to convince themselves and others around them. They'll use all the Christian terms. But they won't go there because God told them to. They won't go there because God said, I want you there. And they'll just leave if they don't like what they're hearing and seeing. And if things get a bit uncomfortable, and they'll go and find another church. In 40 years, I've been in two churches. Have I wanted to leave? Many times. But I really believe God says, well done, good and faithful servant. One who will push through the difficult seasons. One that will be committed to where God puts you. I'm always of the mindset of the early church, there's one church per city. So you couldn't church hop. Whatever church was there is what you got. If you had a problem with somebody in the church, you dealt with it. In 1 Corinthians 5, we see the guy sleeping with, having sex. We use the term sleeping, but there's no sleeping there. He's having sex with his stepmother. And they said, you're proud of this moment. You look how free we are in Christ. Aren't we amazing? He said, you should be ashamed. And he said, put that person out the church. That person couldn't then go to the church down the road, which happens in our culture today. You know, and guys receive people in. Guys come to us and they've got a problem with church down the road. We say, go sort that problem out first. Go make right there. Maybe God wants you still there. We're not here just to grow numbers for the sake of it. You know, where did God call you? And we've got to be those who God obedient, God following. We've got such a wrong culture in the modern day church. So wrong. So wrong. Even in 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church, that guy talks about later, they restored him because he couldn't go anywhere else. He had to be restored back to that church. Imagine the shame. He'd been put out the church and now he had to come back. And they said, Paul even said, love him because, don't break the guy because of what he... Don't let it be too hard on him. Now lift that what you've put on him. One church. I'm not saying you can't leave this church, really. I'm not saying that either. But I think, but you better know it's of God. You better know that God has moved you on. And it's not just you that's got issues. So I really believe there's a moment that, and I'm speaking to us as a congregation, that God is going to start bringing out things. You can either run and take your problem with you, but you're still going to face God one day, or you can deal with it here and now and bring it out, and then God can be glorified through it and through the situation. You won't always be, obviously not glorified in the sin, but in, it's how we handle it, how we present, and how there's like a, just a beating of our hearts and saying, God, you know, so Jesus said there were two people. One was the Pharisee. He went and he stood in front of the wall and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not a sinner like this guy. And this guy was saying, Lord, just forgive me, a sinner. Just raw. Which one was God pleased with? And so sometimes we can bluff ourselves. You know, I think I'm doing great in God. I'm wonderful. But yet we still, there's sin in our lives that we haven't dealt with. And God's in gracious and mercy wants us to deal with it so that you can be free. It's actually holding you in bondage. The crazy thing is you're shooting yourself in the foot by not bringing things out into the light, by not dealing with issues. Whatever it could be, it might just be an attitude. It might just be a mindset that's got to shift and break in your life. Just make sure if you ever that you're always in God's will, that you're doing whatever you do to please Him. 1 Peter, can we go to 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7? 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7. A lot of the scripture was warnings, eh? Paul wrote most of the letters to warn people, to, guys, deal with these things. Be aware of these things. It's to bring us health. In this, you greatly rejoice. He's talking about the trials and tribulations that they're going through. Though for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, okay, your faith of greater worth than gold, it's greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. So gold will perish even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor where Jesus Christ is revealed. So there's going to become a refining. I really felt the Lord say that. There's going to be a fire that's going to come. It's going to start burning up that which is not of Jesus. And it's going to be good. Don't fear it. Don't fear it. The enemy wants you to fear. He wants you to operate in fear. God doesn't want you to operate in fear like that. You should fear God, but not in that way. That's a wrong response to fear. There's a good fear and there's a bad fear. Because Jesus even warned us, you know, fear Him, Jesus, who can cast your soul into hell. Don't fear Him who can destroy the body. So there's a fear that Jesus even encouraged us to have. It's a healthy, safety fear. But at this moment, I believe the firing process, the fire of process of God is going to come on this congregation. And it's going to be good for us. It's going to bring us into health. And it applies to every one of us, from me, everyone. If there's stuff in my life that God's got to burn out, I want it out. I don't know about you, but I want to serve Jesus, man. I want to serve Him properly. Not on my terms, not on my way, not on my understanding, not on my Western culture. I want to do it in Jesus' culture. And if it means adjustment and change, then, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Can we go to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2? Very well-known scriptures. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, okay, we've got to be responding to mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. I thought about this. Have I ever offered my body as a living sacrifice to God? Now, we say it easily enough, we read it, but really, have I ever said and said, Lord, here's my body, it's a living sacrifice. It's living, but it's in a continual place of sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is my spiritual act of worship. We're going to do worship and music now, but there's an act of worship of offering your body to saying, Lord, here is my body, which is all of me, which is me. It's an act of my worship to offer it. It's an act. It says a doing. Do. So I'm encouraging you during worship to say, God, actually use the words. Don't mumble it in your mind. Don't mutter things in your mind. Do it with your mouth. God spoke the world. He spoke the word. He didn't think it. So speak out during the worship, music worship time and say, God, here is my body. Here is my life as a living sacrifice to you. And I know that you're merciful, that you're loving and you're patient and you're kind. And here I am, Lord, to serve you.